Welcome back to Mavericks and Misfits, my friends. I'm glad that you've tuned in today. Some of you are first-time listeners, and my name is Jeff Lyle, and the Mavericks and Misfits podcast has been established for a handful of years now, and our goal is to communicate truth and to provoke you to think through your faith, and also to call all of us to a higher level of excellence as we live for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, status quo Christianity should be elements of your life that you're in way over your head. And the goal of playing it safe, to have a manageable, non-stretching kind of version of following Jesus doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make biblical sense. It doesn't make kingdom sense. It doesn't make sense when we look at the lives of those that we admired on the pages of Scripture, and we see very plainly that to live by faith is to live beyond your own abilities. And yet, for all of us in the American church, and some of you I know are listening in other parts of the world, and it may be true, especially if you're in the Western civilization, it may be true also for you, but in the American church, the goal has become comfort. It is to find our security. And this is not everybody, but this is a lot of Christianity. We're actually more conditioned by the culture, by American values. And I thank God that I'm American. By the way, don't think I'm non-patriotic. I thank God I'm an American. But it's my secondary citizenship. My primary citizenship is that of a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. So those values shape my life. Those mandates shape my life. Those morals shape my life. That mission shapes my life. And I don't want to be another Christian who is a Christian on Sunday, who is a Christian in external performance, but my internal atmosphere is more rooted in culture and the values of a system that has nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ and what he values. And so when we started Mavericks Misfits several years ago, the goal was just to kind of speak on issues that pertain to the truth of the Word of God and the necessity of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that's still a primary part of who I am and what I do. I want people that are, historically Bible oriented to become spirit oriented too. And I want those that are of the Spirit to open their Bibles. We need doctrine, and we need power. We need heat, and we need light. And so frequently on this podcast, you're going to hear me address issues like that. And then most of the time, I just kind of hit record and talk about what the Lord is stirring in my own spirit. We pray every Tuesday night at Antioch Outpost in Bethlehem, Georgia. That's where I help lead there at our church, and we pray every Tuesday. We open the doors at 4 p.m., and we pray through till about 7:45 p.m., and then we take communion from 7:45 to 8 p.m. I'm not going to lie to you. That's my favorite service of the week. People would think, well, wait a minute. Do you preach? Nope. Is there live worship? Nope. Well, what in the world do y'all do? We come together and we pray because Christians pray. And that's the goal. The goal is to come together, pray, prophesy, read from Scripture. We actually are pretty strongly enforce a non-teaching environment because we don't want people who have some, great word that God's given them to monopolize the microphone with a teaching time. We have other teaching forms here. And so this is our time to pray together. And when we pray, and we've been doing this for a few years now, I've been at this church 3.5 years, and we've been praying like this for about 3 of the 3.5 years I've been here. And it is through our prayer meetings on Tuesdays, and then we have another one at Sunday morning for an hour before service starts. It's where the DNA of our church is being settled, the identity of our church is being settled, the mission of our church is being settled, and the trajectory that we're on was defined. It was defined in our prayer meetings and is still being defined. So I want to talk to you a little bit about some of those words I just mentioned today. Everybody really has a desire. All Christians have a desire, I think even non-Christians have a desire to know what their purpose is in life. In the Christian world, we are often thinking about what is our calling. I use the word assignment a lot. And what does God want us to do with this life that he's given us? You start out dead in your trespasses and sins. You're spiritually dead to God. And then through the second birth, the new birth, through faith in Jesus Christ, then you are made alive. This Holy Spirit quickens or makes you alive. Faith is deposited in Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit then takes up residence in your body. You are a new creation according to the Word of God. The old things are passing away. Behold, all things are becoming new. And that's gloriously good news. That means you're not what you used to be, and you are no longer going to be like those who don't have Christ. You are on an adventure. I mean, He just launched you into a new way of living in that moment that you placed your faith in Jesus. And so on the heels of that, we start wondering, especially if you're saved, if I was saved at age 24 and my life was just a mess before I came to Christ, and immediately after being saved and delivered, I wanted to know, what am I here on planet Earth for? Now that I have a second chance, now that I have life, now that I'm no longer in bondage to my sin, what do I want to do? I want to do something for my King. Lord, what would you have me to do? And the defining of that purpose has been evolutionary. That just means it has grown. It has sprung from an embryonic form. There was a moment in time where I knew I had a call on my life, but what does that look like and how does that play out? I'm 54, and some of you that are listening are in your teens and your 20s, maybe even your early 30s, this would apply to. You don't just get the calling from God, the awareness of your assignment in life, and then it's just fixed. In other words, it's the same thing from that moment on. It's more like a seed that roots, buds, blossoms, and then bears fruit. That's more of the thing that the process that I would make it akin to, rather than just God plants you as an immediate oak of righteousness and you are what you are from that point forward. No, it's relational. It's organic. It's not static. It is a fluid. It moves. It grows. It changes. It gets refined. And so I want to encourage some of you that don't know what your life purpose is. It's not catastrophic, but you should be asking and you should be, you know, positioning yourself to receive it. A lot of people want to say, God, what is my calling? What is my assignment? And then they hand him five things to choose from. And he just stares at our list and he says, well, that's sweet. That's nice. But those five things may not be the things that he is calling you to do. And so you have to come literally with a blank piece of paper. And you have to sign your name at the bottom and say, tell me what you want me to do. I've already signed on. And when that happens, that's a place of surrender. It's a place of utter honor to the Lord. And that's where the Lord really begins to work. There's an interesting verse in Ephesians chapter 2. And the verse, the context has been about what it means to be in Christ and being saved by grace through faith, not being able to work yourself into a relationship with God. And then Ephesians 2:10, I'll just read out of the New Living Translation. I don't use that one often, but I like the way it was structured there. And so the NLT in Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece." The King James, I think, says workmanship. I like masterpiece because it actually reflects the true meaning of the Greek. We are God's masterpiece. Just soak that in for a minute. When God made us new, he made us one of his masterpieces. Why are we a masterpiece? Because God did it. Because God made us. He rebirthed us. He made old things pass away and all things become new. We are made by his hands. We are formed and fashioned and the likeness of Christ. So we're a masterpiece. And then it goes on to say, he has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. It's that last clause, that last phrase. So why did God create you new? Why did he make you a masterpiece? Why did he save you? Well, Paul answers that question in Ephesians 2:10. So we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. That's interesting. Before there was a you, there was a plan for you. Before you were a physical reality on planet Earth, you were an idea in the heart of God, if I can put it that way. That God had a desire. God had a desire. God had an idea. God had a plan. God had something he wanted to do on Earth. And he said, I'm going to take this plan, idea, and I'm going to make a masterpiece out of it. And I'm going to wrap this plan and idea with human DNA, and I'm going to call it, and then you fill in your name. I'm going to call this plan, this idea, Jeff Lyle. I'm going to call this plan and idea, John Smith. I'm going to call this plan and idea, Susie Smith, whatever your name is. And that's literally how you came into existence. You were actually, you are, your life, your physical life on earth is an expression of a desire from the infinite heart of the Almighty. There's your significance. Your significance is that God wanted you here for a purpose. He intentionally made you at the time he made you. He brought you into the earth in the circumstances that he ordained, whether they were pleasant or unpleasant. Every single physical life, every conception is an expression of the infinite heart of God. By the way, that's why I'm just radically against abortion, because it says, God, your idea was bad. I snuff it out. I'm going to kill the idea of God. I'm going to kill this desire of God in the womb. And guys, when we do that, we are actually placing ourselves above God. Now, there's grace and mercy for all of you that have participated in an abortion of a child. You get it under the blood. You're forgiven. You're cleansed. But as those that are forgiven and cleansed, we have to stand against abortion, because it is, in effect, saying to God, the works that you had planned ahead of time from eternity for this life don't matter. They don't need to be on planet Earth. We don't like the way it started out, so we're going to terminate this baby. And so Christians, as forgiven people for all sins, including abortion, we must say, no, we stand against it. Why? Because they're created unto good works that God has before ordained that they should walk in them. So this idea that we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago, that should grip you. There is a reason. Just because you may not know it yet doesn't mean it isn't there. There's a reason for you. There's an actual purpose for you. And one of the most glorious things that God allows and welcomes us to partner with him in is to find out why you are. Finding out who you are and why you are two of the greatest treasures on earth. And they're all found in the context of knowing who God is, knowing who Jesus is. And so your life is lived in the context of who God is. And from that, you draw all of your significance, you find your identity, and you say yes to your purpose, your mission, your assignment. So identity, let me give you three words: identity, activity, and trajectory. Pardon me. Your identity is just very simply who you are. And you've got to be relentless in understanding that your identity is anchored in who God says you are as one of his children. And the only way you come to like full saturation of who God says you are is by reading the Word of God. Because the Word of God will tell you who he is and what he says about you. And you have to draw your identity from what God says about you. And listen, most people are drawing their identity by the culture. Be pretty, be strong, be wealthy, be successful, have pleasure, seek ease, and do great at all your things. And if you can work in some fame and applause for yourself from others, hey, there you go. And that's just a woeful way to approach what it means to live the life in Jesus Christ. You have to allow God to say what he wants to say over you. You have to believe what he says over you. Now, I don't have time to unpack everything that God says about you as his child. Get in your Bible. Like, read it. I would read the epistles of Paul over and over and over and over again. You're going to draw theologically sound understanding about who you are in Christ from the letters of Paul. I'm not going to cast aside, you know, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, the book of James, the book of Hebrews. You know, I'm not going to throw those aside, but the letters of Paul will help you to come to peace with who you are, and then you have to believe it. So that's your identity. Now, most people skip identity and they go straight to the second word, which is activity. That's what you most often do. Like, your life is comprised by your sense of identity and what you most often do, which is your activity. And then I'll talk to you about trajectory in a minute. But so activity is, like, we all have tons of stuff probably going on in life, but what do you most often do? What dominates your schedule? Because you've got to recognize that a whole lot, the majority of your life is expressed and spent in what you are doing. Who you are to others and how you interact with them, your career, your job, you know, as you embrace some form of a calling from God, it's going to involve a commitment to repeated activities necessary to fulfill that calling. And so sometimes I just have to do an audit of my life. Like, what am I doing with my time? And is what I'm doing with my time consistent with my identity, or is my activity, what I'm doing with my time, is my activity becoming my identity? And maybe even redefining my identity and not giving me the opportunity to walk out my true identity because my life is filled with activity that is sometimes in conflict or opposition to my identity. Now, a whole lot of life is have to. But the beauty is when you know who you are, when you've got your identity settled, whatever you're doing has the potential for you to live out that identity. So if you've got to work 50 hours in a marketplace, you can't say, well, that's not my identity. That's just what I got to do to pay the bills. And my real assignment is this, this, or this. Well, friends, your assignment doesn't go away. You have to be wise about how you fulfill that assignment, especially when you're on your boss's time. You know, they own us. When we're on the clock, they own us. Like, we are obligated to do the work for which we're being compensated, but you can still live out your identity. But what about your other activities? What if your life is dominated with things that have nothing to do with God's works that he has prepared beforehand? You know, I think oftentimes we dabble in kingdom activity and we douse ourselves with worldly activity. Are your hobbies, are your entertainment, are your leisure hours, are those consistent with who you are? Or do you not have any of that because all you do is work, 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 work? And so activity is very, very important because it comprises a massive chunk of your life, and you need to find ways that you can say yes to activities that express that calling or that assignment on your life. So you got to discern where the bulk of your time and your energy are being invested. So, who you are is your identity. What you most often do is your activity. And then what those two things blended, they produce your trajectory. Identity, activity, trajectory. Why you are who you are, and why are you doing what you do? No, let me ask you again. Why are you who you are, and why are you doing what you do? Those are questions that people, Christians, just aren't answering. Like, you ought to ask God, why am I the person you've made me? And then you ask yourself, why am I doing the things that I'm doing? What do we do with thoughts like this? Well, what you've got to ask is this. Your trajectory is your understanding of the direction that your identity and activity are pointing your life. Trajectory is a spectrum, a continuum. Where are you headed? Because where you're pointed and moving is going to determine where you arrive. And none of us want to arrive in a place that we weren't supposed to be when life is over. And so when we're talking about trajectory, I just remember that the degree to which I'm remaining committed in stewarding my identity and stewarding my activity, they're leading me somewhere in life. This intertwining of identity and activity actually create the trajectory of my life. And so here's the point. You and I need to be proactive in stewarding our lives in such a way that we don't lose our identity and we don't waste our activities on things that don't make sense. So when we remain steadfast in knowing like who we are in Jesus, and we stay in a state of discerning what we're doing, then our life trajectory is going to glorify God and it's going to satisfy us. You have to be highly proactive in this. I'm aware as I teach these things, it could sound cumbersome. It could sound a little micro. But guys, I'm just asking you to be intentional about how you're living your life and how you're stewarding who you are in Christ. If you're not intentional about who you are and what you do, then something or someone else is creating your identity and demanding your activity. And I want to steward who I am and what I do. I want to steward my life. I don't want somebody to assign me an identity because it's going to be a false identity. I don't want somebody to fill my life with activity that doesn't make sense for my identity and my calling and my purpose. So years ago, I had to get really intentional. I had to start saying no to things. And in the church world, man, when a leader says no to something, it produces all sorts of carnality in responses from people. Well, who does he think he is? I mean, good night. He gets a check from the church. He ought to be doing this, 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 and this, plus all the things that he says he's supposed to do. And it's like, you know, we say all the time, you know, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Well, I would say that that's true. But the way it's kind of lived out in the church world is God loves you and people have an amazing plan for your life. And they all have different plans. So at some point, you got to start saying, yeah, I can't do all of this anymore. And I'm so glad I did that. I wish I had done it earlier. It would have helped my family more. And when my kids were small, if I had known how to say no to things that were just lesser loyalties, they shouldn't have been on my calendar. And so here I am a little later in life, and I'm just saying, yeah, I'm going to have to tell you no on that one. I thank you for the invitation or the opportunity. I can't do it. Why? Well, because that activity isn't consistent with my identity. And if I do something in activity that's inconsistent with my identity, then it's going to skew my trajectory. I'll end up in a season or in a place or an arrival point that doesn't make sense, doesn't glorify God, and doesn't satisfy me as a child of God. All right, lots of stuff. You may have to listen to this podcast twice, so I would just say that where you're presently stationed in life, it's always being impacted by the level of you knowing who you are and that same level of doing what you're assigned by God. That's where you are in life right now. Where you are in life right now is the sum total in previous months and years of you, the degree to which you knew who you were and know currently who you are, and the degree to which you've been doing what you're assigned by God. That's where you are in life. Those two things work together. Identity, activity have arrived you at this place. If you don't think it's the best place for you, then you need to address, am I off in my identity? Have I become somebody I'm not? And are my activities actually just kind of smothering my identity? And good activities aren't necessarily activities that God has assigned. There's a lot of good stuff we can do, but are we doing the right things? And if you have this misunderstanding of your identity, it's going to skew your trajectory, and it'll probably result in you believing you are only what you do. This is when activity becomes your identity. I am only what I do. That robot kind of existence, when all of life becomes have to. Nobody's going to change that for you. You are the one who has to sometimes unplug from the wall. You have to reroute. You know, when I'm driving in my car around Metro Atlanta, the little voice on my GPS will tell me where to go. And if I don't obey, it says rerouting, 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 turn around, turn around, turn around. And it won't shut up until I get back on the right path. And so I think that we need to pay attention to the voice of conscience within us, the voice of the Holy Spirit. And we need to recognize sometimes he's saying to you, I'm rerouting you. I'm rerouting you. Turn around. You're not headed in the right direction anymore. I am going to get you where you need to be, but you have to reroute. And sometimes when activity starts swallowing up your identity, that's what needs to happen. And so if you mishandle your assignment, also that's your activity, if you mishandle your assignment, it will also warp your trajectory. And you're just going to end up failing to maximize whom God has made you. Remember, he has works planned beforehand. Before you were you, he has his ideas about what your life is going to be about. It'd be tragic not to discover what that is or to know it's out there but not care enough to pursue it. So if you're dissatisfied, like right now in this season, with your present trajectory in life, you need to just invest in yourself. Partner with God to more accurately learn and accept your identity as his child, okay? And I would just say, in addition to that, ask him if you're presently proactively living out your proper assignment from him. Friends, you can actually know these things. Now, what this podcast episode isn't, it is not Jeff gives you 9 things to secure your identity, activity, and trajectory. Guys, I'm not the Holy Spirit. He works, he's unique, you have a relationship with him. He likes to relate to you, he's not just some invisible force. He's the third person of the Godhead, and he likes to lead you. He likes you to want him to lead you. He likes you, if you don't know how to follow him, to ask him to show you how to follow him. And if you're starting at square one in these kind of things, thank God you're starting. Amen. We all started on square one, And some of us started a little late in life. It's okay. If you feel like the clock is eaten up and the calendar is eaten up most of your years, and what good is it now? Most of my life has been spent not knowing my identity or not knowing my activity, and therefore this trajectory I'm on is permanent. I can't undo it. Oh, well, you don't believe God. Sorry, you don't believe God if you think that because you're a little bit more advanced in life, or you feel like, you know, you missed your opportunity, I'm just going to send you to have a conversation with Moses in the book of Exodus. Homeboy was 80 years old. He was 40 when he started trying to live out his identity and activity. He blew it. He was 80 when he finally said yes. Abraham was an old dude, 75 years old, before he knew what his assignment was. King David knew his assignment as a teenager, but didn't get to really start walking it out until he was 40 years old in its fullness. And, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the Son of Man, had to wait until he was in his, or he was around 30 years old before he got full green light from the Father to embrace in his assignment. So please don't use the calendar or the clock or the discouragement that comes with not knowing this when you were younger. Just start doing it now. Square one's a great place to be today. And I want to encourage you, if this was a little bit of a fire hydrant turning on, all you wanted was a sip of water, but today's episode was more like a fire hydrant, just go back and listen to it. Go back and listen to it again and ask the Lord, Lord, what is my identity? Where am I off in it? And Lord, I'm asking you also if my activities make sense for my identity. And Lord, I'm not real confident or sure or even happy in this trajectory I've been on. Holy Spirit, I ask you, would you help me? Would you just help me? I need your help. And Jeff said you'd help me because I, whatever years I have left, I want to do them as unto you in full awareness of my foundational identity in Jesus. And I want to say yes to the things I'm supposed to say yes to. I want to find the things that the Father has prepared in eternity past for me to walk out with my life. I just want to speak this over you. You do have a purpose. If you're saved, you have a purpose. Don't look to Instagram. Don't look to a platform. Don't look for super mega. Please stop that. It's very few people in the body of Christ that are ever going to have that. That's so silly. And the advent of social media makes people think that the only way to be, you know, in the will of God or have a calling is that you got to have X amount of followers. You got to go viral. Your life's not meant to go viral. Listen, let's quit trying to go viral when we're not even willing to go local. You know, be local. Don't be viral. If God wants you to go viral, he can take care of that business. But if you're saying, how do I go viral? How do I go viral? Well, all I'm going to say is quit thinking viral and start thinking local. Think in your family. Think in your home church. Think in the place that you work. Think in your community, your neighborhood. Go local. Very few things are meant to go viral, okay? So come out of that stupid identity. Sorry, I'm being blunt, but just that's dumb. Like, come out of this. I got to go viral. Who cares about that stuff, friends? Like, I want to help my granddaughter. She's little. She's not even a year old, but I want to help my granddaughter. That's where I want to go viral. I want to be viral in her life. I want to help my son, who's a young man, finding his way in the marketplace. I want to help my daughter in knowing who she is and what she has to offer in the kingdom and for her to value that greatly. I want to help Amy. Amy's got her own calling. Amy's got her own gifts. Amy's got her own relationship with the Lord. I'm walking by my wife, and I want to help her. That's local for me. I want to help Antioch Outpost. Why? That's my assignment. I'm not a pastor in the fivefold, but my title is senior leader, and like I lead a whole bunch of people. I want to pour the best of my energies in that primary assignment from God. I'm also there at Caneo. So I want to help my employees step into their calling. I want to help students step into their life and their trajectory and their identity. None of that is viral. I don't need to be international. I don't need to be global. Frankly, I don't even think I want that. I want to be able to look people in the eyes and say, they're walking out their identity. They're refining their activities, and they're on the right trajectory. And man, if I can help people with that, then I'm going to die a happy camper one day. Okay. Hey, my time's gone. I want to thank you for tuning in to Mavericks and Misfits. We'll have another episode. We drop every single Tuesday. Let me be specific. We drop almost every single Tuesday. There are occasional ones where we miss, but I just hope you'll continue to listen. Tell folks about it. You could give us a rate and review if you appreciate the things you're hearing. the rate and review wherever you're listening, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening. Rate and review us. That would be great. You can go to maverickmisfit.com. You can listen from the archives there. You could rate and review us on that page. If you haven't gotten a copy of my book, Figuring It Out As I Go, love to sell you a copy of it. I don't actually sell them. They're on Amazon. And so if you'd like to get a copy of Figuring Out As I Go, I think it's like 10 bucks on Amazon, something like that. It's kind of a detailed history of how I came into the kingdom and how I fought to kind of walk where I'm walking right now in the kingdom. It's a book about warfare. It's a book about tragedy. It's a book about victory and breakthrough. And ultimately, it's just a journey into the Father's heart. And I think you'll be helped by that. If you don't have a home church and you live anywhere near Bethlehem, Georgia, come visit me at Antioch Outpost here in Bethlehem, Sundays at 10:30 a.m. Tuesday nights, we pray from 4 to 8, as I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast. And then Wednesday night, I teach a Bible study at 6:30. I believe in the Bible. If you're bored with the Bible, repent. Repent if you're bored with the Bible, because the Word of God is essential, and we cannot stay in the shallows, okay? So come and take part of the Bible study here at Antioch Outpost. And again, all of my resources are available for free at transformingtruth.org. Go to transformingtruth.org, and if you love preaching and teaching, take advantage of the video resources on our YouTube channel. Just look up Transforming Truth or Jeff Lyle on YouTube. And I just want to feed you, man. I want to feed you, sons and daughters of God. I want to help you. I want to come alongside of you. I can't do it physically with everybody, but God, help me to use my voice to help people to pursue you, hunger after you, and find all that you have for them. We'll talk to you next time on Mavericks and Misfits. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to today's Mavericks and Misfits podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe, rate, and review Mavericks and Misfits with Jeff Lyle on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. Your review helps us reach more people and spread the unfiltered message of Jesus. And don't forget, you can connect with Jeff's social media links at maverickmisfit.com. We look forward to reconnecting with you on our next episode.